evidence. I ponder this when I look at the development that has occurred in the past 2-3 years in the Stormy Point region of to the Chateau and from the State Park Marina to Highway 86. It seems as though to me that the general welfare of our natural resources is failing dramatically in the conservation area. As was mentioned earlier, this is the last undeveloped cove on Table Rock eastern shoreline from the dam to the Arkansas state line. Being the last cove, it's prime real estate. It's the last. I'm smart enough to know that keeping this cove pristine is simply not going to happen. I think we all know that. Development is going to occur. But folks such as myself and my neighbors rely on you to preserve our prosperity and general welfare. We came before you last year saying if you rezone the property to the east of MRG to nightly rental, you'll open the door for adjoining properties to ask to be rezoned. And here we are. An NR3 multifamily residential nightly rental on this property really makes you scratch your head thinking of that general welfare clause. The property has a steep slope, a gorgeous view, but next to a highway with a steep blind curve with a suggested speed limit of 35 miles an hour, but that's only suggested. It's obvious that this land is going to be developed. It's the last cove. It's beautiful. But with an NR3 multifamily nightly rental, MRG's permit states approximately 22 units per acre. There are 12 acres in this parcel. Being generous and maybe perhaps accounting for some parking area, let's say MRG is going to build on 6 acres. 6 acres at 22 units is 132 units in that little patch of land. That's only 6 acres being developed at the rate they're talking about. Next to a curvy highway, sandwiched on a hill, abutting land reserved for the high road. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I would ask the planning and zoning to require MRG to file plans for the location, the size, and the height of any building or structure to be erected on this property, as the Taney County Zoning Code Regulations Article 005.000 application filing requirements and zoning certificate or change. As listed in Section 005.001 filing plan A2B, along with other regulations pertaining to the number of units, their location is asked this regulation before granting change to the current code. Because this property is between Highway 265 and Highway 165, it would be prudent to have MDOT perform a traffic study, particularly since this planning and zoning denied zoning change in August on a nearby property along 165, saying an entrance was not feasible and was dangerous. And frankly, in the wintertime is the wrong time to do that traffic study because the traffic is very low at that point in time. It should happen in the summertime when the tourists are well there because that is a heavily traveled road. Table Rock Heights Road often becomes a chosen route when drivers chart a course as it cuts off the intersection at 265 and 165. And in fact, Google Maps, if you go to that routing from, say, Hollister into that general area, will route every car through our neighborhood. Adding a minimum of most likely 132 units will very much affect traffic in our neighborhood. A road is small. Two vehicles cannot occupy the road when they meet each other. One or the other or both has to drive off the edge of the road. It requires a great deal of care and slow speeds to prevent accidents. There are no sidewalks in our neighborhood, so we use the road to walk. We are already constantly challenged with drivers who do not adhere to the posted 15-mile-an-hour speed limit. In fact, many of them go through at 35 to 40 miles an hour. Having a multifamily NR3 zone across the street, really across the highway from our neighborhood, jeopardizes our safety. I also ponder a statement in the application by Energy that states, under existing proposed utilities, now that's been changed because they are now saying they're going to use well water, they were going to use existing utilities. Well water would likely draw down from the well that we use for our water. since it's right directly in line with it. We are already having to deepen the length of the depth of our well as we go along, adding more pipes into it, simply because the water is becoming a very scarce commodity. I would like to see plans that would tell us where that water is coming from, what stream underground, because there's many underground streams, and how that would affect our neighborhood. The permit for use of this property allows them to use one entrance off of 265. Neighbors, including myself, have already witnessed NRG using two entrances, one of which is feet away from the Highway 265-165 intersection. I bring this minor infraction before you because the authorized signature of the owner on this land is not known for following rules and permits. Apparently, that trend in developing has already begun. As was stated earlier, Taney County Fire Department has already visited this property to put out brush fires that were set by the NRG people and leaving them unattended. The County Fire Department would wind up having to deal with the oversight. Because of my points, traffic, safety, public water and sewer, infractions to permits, I urge this Planning and Zoning Commission to not allow the NR3 code. Maybe NR1, which would keep the multi-story housing from happening, most appropriately in R1, this would be a beautiful place to put several $2 and $3 million homes and would be a prime location people would want to get into. And I would also strongly urge this body to force MRG to cease and desist all further disruption until further land disruption until the application filing requirements and zoning certificate for change are completed in full, along with an approved MoDOT determination on the proper, safe, and legal MoDOT standard of entrance on this property. This should happen for the good of public safety. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next. We have anyone else signed up to speak? That was it? Or is there one more? No?
Say a couple things. First, let me address a couple of things that I think were inaccurate. Number one, we have all DNR permits, clearing permits that we're required to have. We've been in contact with DNR. We've got what we're supposed to have regarding clearing and whatnot. I know that there's complaints regarding our clearing and burning, but we're allowed to do what we're doing. If you'll go out there today, you'll see it's we're selectively clearing. It looks good, and what they said was accurate. We did have to selectively clear to be able to see the site, which is very common for developers, and see the grade and elevations. But regardless, those types of complaints don't have anything to do with zoning requests. We're allowed, and I hate to say it, but we do. We are allowed to go in there and clear every tree we want. We're allowed to manipulate the site how we want as long as we get our required permits, which we have, land disturbance permits. We are in compliance. We've done everything we're required to do on that. The other thing I would mention is most of what I've heard were, most of the opposition that I've heard tonight were philosophical disagreements with development and nightly rental at large. Most of what I did not hear was how this site, if it gets developed into NR3, how that zoning change would negatively impact the people in Table Rock Heights. They did not give any good statement as to how that would negatively impact it. The only thing that they did say was that any development whatsoever could potentially negatively impact the subdivision of Table Rock Heights. Clearly we're allowed to do something with this property. And so we eventually will. So I would say the comments about access via traffic and all that stuff, that again, that's separate. That's controlled by MoDOT. We'll comply with everything MoDOT requires us to do in terms of access to the site. But you didn't hear any complaints except for one regarding, I guess what I've understood is there was a fear that if we developed the site, there would be traffic that somehow goes through Table Rock Heights to access this subdivision, or what we're going to propose here. Gentlemen, I would counter that. I think that defies logic, if I'm being honest. If you can see here, I'm very familiar with the site. You guys can see it. You guys have been out there. These are this site will be accessed by two main highways that both access to 65. There would be no reason why any Google Maps or anything would take you through a separate subdivision of Table Rock Heights to get to an easier access by direct highway to the site. Again, I know everyone, you know, wants to be the last person to develop property in Taney County, but that's not possible. This property has to be developed. I think the question is in Taney County, what are the best suited pieces of property for nightly rentals? And if we're looking at Taney County at large, this is one of those parcels, would be what I would say in response. I guess that's all I've got.
Scott, what about within the zoning, the requirements to show some type of development plan that would show planned heights and all that? I mean, within the zoning code, they could build a five-story building and as long as it was 70 feet.
So for the first few zoning requests that we received, I worked with the county attorney, and we went back and forth. What do I need? What do I get? So, I mean, we consistently brought you what we have per his recommendation. I don't know where the application filing requirements and zoning certificate, I understand, but the or change, I don't really, he hasn't. Because if you had a farm field out by Taneyville you thought was good commercial, you had zero plans to develop it, but you wanted it to go from A1 to C1 or C2, you'd have that right to be able to come through, zone it, and say, hey, I've got a piece of C2 for sale. You've done the work. I mean, there's no buildings planned, no, and that's what Travis and I talked about. Now, for the zoning certificate, it says in here to issue that, I need to make sure the buildings meet the requirements of that zoning district. They meet the wastewater, et cetera. So the or change part has me confused because Travis hasn't had us bring you those set of plans for his zoning request. Does that make sense? Plus, he's always, you know, hammered to me that we have to be consistent. So how we've been doing it, we better stay.
I just got one question. I know you don't have site plans, but as far as your access, what do you foresee, one or two accesses off of the east-west part of 265?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, have you met with MoDOT? And
I'll let Steve answer that question, but while you do answer, I do want to make another point. You can see, he'll answer your question, so, because he knows better than I do, but I will say another statement real quick. There was talk about temporary access. There's two points of temporary access right now.
Right.
Those, despite what was said earlier, those two spots of temporary access have been there for a very long time. You can see it right there on the map. You can see one.
I see one right down on the south.
And one up here.
I mean on the north corner there, yes. Yeah.
Those two have been there for a very long time. We did not cut in any new accesses. We're using what's already been in existence.
That one line, that's a power line going across there, right?
Right.
Yes.
So that basically kind of separates.
Yeah, I mean it does. It's a power line, so won't be able to build underneath it.
Right.
So that's all I've got. I think Steve can answer your question.
I mean, you haven't met with MoDOT to see any feasible, have you?
Okay. You wanna come up, Steve, and go ahead and address that?
Steve Redford, 6063 State Highway 248, Branson. So I did personally meet with MoDOT. I'll show you what I've done. Dusty come out there and measured from this existing entrance the site factor up and down. Because I had asked him, there's a bluff right here.
Right.
And there's a guardrail that ends about right there. I specifically asked him, If we move the entrance up there,